Back now to the Academy of Music in Philadelphia as we resume our coverage of the 6th Annual Philadelphia Bulletin Forum. Next, we have a panel discussion. How can we get integrity in government?
To start it off, we have four distinguished senators from Washington. I hope they didn't have to have an important vote tonight, but we tried to balance that by having two Democrats and two Republicans. I'm sure you'll all recognize, even though he doesn't have on his coonskin cap, Senator Estes Kefauver. Who was famous for his investigation of crime and corruption and for many a husband getting a cold dinner last year when so many housewives were watching the television program. And then I'm always pleased to introduce the very able and charming Mrs. Margaret Chase Smith, the senator from Maine. And we're always proud of our men from our newspaper fold. A new senator, succeeding the late, great Senator Vandenberg, a distinguished newspaper man before that, which means in our book, he knows the score when it comes to what's going on, Senator Dwight Blair Moody of Michigan. And then Senator Harry Caine, whom I haven't had the pleasure of meeting before, but I see we belong to the same fraternity, and it's good to have him in Philadelphia, a banker, a war veteran, and one who has been striking hard for the rights of individuals and also for integrity in government. There are four senators. And then for our moderator, we have the man we always like to welcome, Dwight Cook of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I think, Mrs. Smith and gentlemen, that many Americans would phrase our question today somewhat differently from the way we phrased it and would say, how can we get rid of corruption in government? I saw a somewhat humorous anecdote in this month's Reader's Digest. An irate taxpayer appended a postscript to his check sent to a local Bureau of Internal Revenue saying, quotes, please see that as much as convenient of the enclosed check gets to the U.S. Treasury. But now, the very fact, Senator Smith, that we laugh at this shows that we think it's pretty serious to turn logic upside down to get at people's emotions. How seriously do you think corruption is today in government?
Well, Mr. Kirk, it's impossible to tell how widespread is corruption in government, how serious it is, how it reached such a point of concern that it becomes the subject of the serious discussion on this panel on the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin Forum. I think that it has become of such concern to the American people that it will be the major factor in the outcome of the election. And who and what is to blame? All of us, to some extent, I would say. The President of the United States himself has set the tone for the lack of sensitivity to corruption in government. Congress itself bears some of the blame with its practice of character assassination under the protective cloak of congressional immunity. Even the caliber of our Supreme Court is far below the standards we've come to expect. And the general public itself must share the blame for its lack of shock and resentment to expose corruption in government. For our government, Mr. Cook, is only what our people make it. And when 50% of our eligible voters are too indifferent to take the trouble to vote, then the product of their indifference should not be so surprising in its moral deficiency. Now we get back to the primary specific action is called for is self-appraisal and maximum acceptance of the individual responsibility.
Well, Senator Smith, you have sort of bracketed the target with those shots. Almost everybody's gotten one shot right between the eyes. I wonder how Senator Kefauver feels about this. You, Senator, are not without experience in crime investigation. Would you say things are getting better and or worse or just about the same?
Well, Mr. Cook, let me say first that I think the way the question is worded here may be a little unfortunate. How can we get integrity in government? I don't think that we should cast an insinuation at the great majority of government workers at any level of government because I think most of them undoubtedly are honest, trying to do the best they can. But it's unquestionably true that there has been a lot of wrongdoing and some breaking of our moral fiber, and it must be restored. The first thing we must do, of course, is to clean out the dirt. Where there are improprieties, they must be corrected. Where there are wrongdoers, they must be exposed and dismissed from government service. We all have different ideas as to how that can be done, and that may be discussed later. I think one thing we should keep in mind, however, that our government is the sum total of the attitude of our communities, of our cities and towns and states. But I do think we expect the federal government to be on a higher plane and to be an inspiration and a leadership and to show the way to the local governments. One trouble, I think, is that too many people have a feeling that if they can chisel on the government or get some special interest or some special privilege that they're not entitled to, that that's the thing to do and that it's all right to do it. Well, that attitude must be changed. And too many of our public officials feel that if they can give some special favor or some special privilege to a particularly influential citizen or a politically powerful one, that that's a feather in their cap. That's the wrong attitude. So that a lot of it is a educational process. There are some laws we can pass, but I think we have to change and the attitude of a lot of people toward government to get real integrity.
Senator Kaine, in making certain changes, as a good Republican here, would you think that corruption in government would be increased or decreased by a change of party? Do you think corruption can be bracketed with any party?
Well, Mr. Cook, for the moment, permit me to speak as an American. Ethics are pretty easy to talk about, and they're less easy to observe strictly. But there is, to my mind, no mystery about them at all. I can state the case, Mr. Cook, very simply, I think. Where you find honest people doing a day's work, there you find a high ethical standard. Anyone today who reads the papers, listens to the radio, or watches television knows that something has gone wrong deeply with ethical standards in the United States. Not a day goes by without further revelation of corruption, both intellectual and material, in our government. But government is not the only offender. Wholesale bribery has compromised college athletics. West Point cadets have cheated in their examinations. Municipal police have collaborated with professional criminals. That prospect is not encouraging. Clerics of every faith warn their flocks. Protestant pastors thump their pulpits. The Catholic bishops of the nation issue a manifesto. As a Protestant, I should like to quote from the Catholics. Said the bishops recently, an alarming parallel exists between the situation facing us in America today and that which faced the Roman Empire 1,500 years ago. The problems of the empire closely resemble those which sorely test us now. Barbarism on the outside, refined materialism and moral decay within. We have sent our young men on military expeditions to far-off lands so that justice and freedom may be kept alive in the world. And yet at home we have become careless about the foundations of justice and the roots of freedom. It cannot go well with us Americans if we continue on this course. Mastery over material things will avail us nothing if we have lost mastery over ourselves. Mr. Cook, to a considerable degree, I do believe that we have, as a nation, lost mastery over ourselves. We can only restore integrity as we regain that self-respect, self-discipline, and mastery.
Senator Moody, would you disagree with this general judgment of your...
No, I think that the statements of my three colleagues here have been very fine. I can think of nothing at the moment that any of them have said that I do disagree with. I'd like, however, to inject a somewhat different note into the proceedings. I'd like to say first that, of course, we cannot legislate ethics. We cannot legislate honesty. However, I do believe that there are certain specific faults in the law which the Congress might well correct. Three other colleagues, Senators Monroney, Sparkman, and Smathers, together with myself, have prepared for the consideration of the Senate a bill which, of course, cannot legislate honesty, but I think it can tighten up some of the loopholes that do exist now in our legal structure. Such a bill would, for example, establish a very high-level blue-ribbon civil service in the Internal Revenue Bureau from top to bottom, including the collectors of internal revenue, where political appointments have not worked out so very well, to put it mildly. This bill would provide for sharply increasing penalties, and it would hit, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cook, at the corruptor, as well as at the corrupted. No one ever bribed himself in government. And I believe that the penalty should be equal, and I believe that anyone who violates his public trust, or anyone who seeks, successfully or otherwise, to induce anyone else to violate his public trust, should be, if convicted, sentenced mandatorily to a jail sentence. Now, there are other phases of this measure I think might be worth the consideration of the public and certainly of the Senate, because it hits very heavily at the influence in the RFC, where we've seen leading figures of both political parties, I believe, exercising in a rather sordid way influence that should never be exercised when government money is being handled. It also would make it a crime for anybody in Congress and in any executive department or in the judiciary or outside in private life for making any interference whatsoever in any tax case, unless it be the taxpayer himself or his attorney or accountant of record. However, I don't want to be interpreted as meaning, Mr. Cook, that this situation can be cured by law alone. I subscribe to what my three distinguished colleagues have said and would like to add this, that in order to get honesty in government, we first must have honesty in politics in the United States. Now, Mr. Cook, at this time we are making decisions in 1952 and in future years, which are going to decide whether or not we have atomic war or peace, whether or not we go ahead and use the great scientific developments of our age to build a better world and a better country and higher living standards and all the rest of it, or whether the advance in science is going to mean a terrible, destructive thing that could pull down civilization. And I think at this time, when since no human institution is perfect, and certainly our government isn't perfect and would not be perfect, whoever happened to be running it, I think there is plenty of constructive criticism that can be voiced and should be voiced. That is the purpose of a loyal opposition. I should like to point out, Mr. Cook, that when a communist group, a communist agitator, goes into a country, a foreign country like France or Italy or someplace else, and tries to undermine that country, that group selects something that the people there may be complaining about. It doesn't say what the alternative is. They merely say what they may be complaining about. And here in this country, we have public men who, instead of making constructive criticism and constructive suggestion, seem to pour the same sort of poison, although they're not communists. Now, that's long enough for the opening statement. Perhaps that may start some discussion.
Mrs. Smith, would you like to pick up where Senator Moody left off on honesty and politics?
Well, I don't know that I can add anything to what the three senators have said. I do want to say that I think we need a new administration. I want to say with the greatest of deference and respect to our distinguished colleague, Mr. Estes Kefauver, and my very good friend, that when I say a new administration, I mean a new Republican administration. I say that we need a new broom. I think we need a new broom to sweep clean. And when I say new broom, I mean a Republican broom, not a Democratic broom with a new handle. I say this because I think it is so very essential to sweep the entire administration out and give the other people a chance at it.
I'm not sure, Senator Kefauver, whether you are a new handle on an old broom or a new... but pick the broom up where you please.
Well, it's really very difficult ever to disagree with so charming and intelligent a colleague as Mrs. Margaret Smith.
This is where you duck, Senator
I think
Smith.
This must be one occasion when we will have a difference of viewpoint. I think we must keep in mind that 99.5% of our servants in public life are under civil service, and they will be there no matter which administration comes in. So that there isn't any reason why any wrongdoers that are in the federal government now cannot be ferreted out and exposed and replaced with good people, and we have an awful lot of them serving under a Democratic administration, and many more are available. I think it must be said to the credit of our Democratic administration that it has been Democratic committees that have exposed the wrongdoing. And I've always had a feeling that there's nothing wrong with the spirit and soul of our American people. When they know about any difficulty, they're going to find some way of doing something about it. So that our administration does at least deserve some credit on that score. And I'm sure that by the time we get through our cleanups, that we're going to have the kind of honesty and integrity that we must have in government.
Senator Kaine?
Well, as always, I'm interested in what the senator from Tennessee said. I think it is proper to note that as he finds it difficult to disagree with the senator from Maine, I find it extraordinarily easy to thoroughly agree with everything that she said. It is true the Democrat committees in the Senate and in the House are looking into such matters as have been overlooked for a good number of years. But it is likewise true that those committees have never had so much encouragement from the opposition that sits on the other side of the aisle. And if they didn't do it, it would be done for them, and by the American people as well. But let me give rise to a question that puzzles me. I know not the answer to it. It seems to me that our government, consisting of both Democrats and Republicans, has all too successfully corrupted our money in recent years. And it therefore follows that it is more difficult than ought to be the case for a people to be honest, strictly, when their money is dishonest, strictly. Because in recent years, by one method of financing after another, we have taken away, stolen, confiscated, or abdicated with a considerable portion of the savings of our nation. And just to cut this short, I think the first great thing that some American government must do, be it Democrat or Republican, is to restore integrity to America's currency, and then we'll be back on a much safer track.
Senator Moody?
Well, just so this doesn't get out of proportion, it's very rarely that I disagree with my beautiful friend from Maine. But I'd like to remind you, Margaret, and all the others listening, that while it's very natural for you in this year and at any time to criticize, as you should criticize, and your criticisms are constructive. I wasn't talking about you a few minutes ago, as you know. Nevertheless, I've been very proud of you because of the way you criticized your own party. And I'll never forget sitting in the press gallery one day because you were the only woman in the Senate. 96 men sat down on that floor and sat there when things were being said that I think nearly everybody on that floor knew weren't true. And it was Margaret Smith of Maine who got up and said that this country will not be improved. And no political party ever will win an election on a campaign based on fear, ignorance, bigotry, and smear. So I just want to point out to you that while, of course, there have been some things uncovered in this administration that, as Senator Kefauver has pointed out, are being corrected, and are being corrected by Democratic committees with, as Senator Kaine points out, Republican help. Nevertheless, the fact remains that the real issue before this country is whether or not we have people in charge of this country who are competent to keep it out of atomic war. Now, I think the record, I haven't heard from the other side of the aisle or anywhere else, any criticism which indicates that the sort of criticism we have had in some quarters, based on your beautifully capsuled remarks, Senator Smith, is the sort of thing that will do us good. And I think that is just as important when it comes to integrity in government as anything else that's happened in Washington.
Thank you very much, Blair. I appreciate more than you know just what you have just said. I spoke that day as an American, not as a Republican, not as a woman, and not as a citizen of Maine, but an American.
You sure did.
Well, now, Mr. Smith and gentlemen, as an inquiring American here, may I ask each of you in turn with relative succinctness, if there be such a word, which I doubt, to give me a specific thing which you think average Americans, not senators, can do to help get more integrity in government, specifically, not generally, yes, if sir. I may say so. Senator Kefauver?
Of course, it's difficult to get four senators to talk very briefly, but I think one of the most basic difficulties we have is that in the home and in the school, too often public service is discouraged. You hear young men very often say that their father and mother or their teachers want them to be bankers or lawyers or doctors, but very infrequently that they should take up a life of public service. So that I think we must put more honor and value and must make more attractive to our young people careers as public servants. And furthermore, they should not be subjected when they enter public service to the kind of smears and to the ugly talk that sometimes is unjustly brought about them. So that if we can get better people into public service, we're certainly going to have better integrity.
Senator Kane?
Well, I think my government in recent years has been, in fact, a monopoly. I think that has encouraged a brand of promiscuousness and carelessness that has not been good for my country. With reference to what happens after November 1952, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican administration, I trust it will be an administration which makes it known in no uncertain terms to everybody that those who are crooks, those who cheat, are over and done with, because it happens to be a fact, I think, and I admit of some prejudice, that the President of the United States, however well-intentioned he may have been, and I will grant he was well-intentioned, has, through his own spoken words in recent years, when he has said repeatedly, "Nothing is wrong within my house," has actually acted as a front man for too many people who have taken advantage of him. Period. That's the one short recommendation I could make.
Well, now, we've had a number of comments here on what's wrong with the administration, and of course the administration is by no means perfect. But I'd like to ask a couple questions here myself, if I might, Mr. Cook. I'd like to ask either of my colleagues from the other side of the aisle, both of whom well know, I'm sure, that there are certain things this government must do in order to avoid a war, in order to deter Red Russia from a general atomic attack. Certain things we must do. Now, you know that the general program, faulty in some respects though it may be, is the program that has to be followed out if we're going to get through without this war. And I'd like to ask you, Harry, you're looking at me very intently. I'd like to ask you whether you think it's a good idea, when all of us know here that taxes don't necessarily have to be increased this year, but we must continue a high level of taxes in order to finance this thing after cutting everything out that can and should be taken out, when you know, and we all know, that we have destabilized the economy, as we've heard Mr. Wilson say here on this program tonight, when you know, and we all know, that the war in Korea, perhaps may, tragic though it has been, and great though the casualties have been, we know that those casualties are less than would be the case if one atomic raid were made in the city of Philadelphia. Now the question is this: do you think that it is ethical, that it is honorable, to have a tax made on that program in the tone and tenor that have been made? It's all right to go after them in coats. Why, sure, I'll go after them. Estes Kefauver went after them very hard. But the question is, these, I believe, communist tactics, which look for the place where the people might be vulnerable to being misled and then going after them on those grounds, I think that is not ethical, and it's not good for the country, Harry.
Well, I think my friend from Michigan, Mr. Moody, talks in riddles with reference to the subject which is before us tonight. My country is in quite a fix. It is committed and overextended all over this world. And if ever there were anything we needed as we've never needed it before, it is conservation. It is integrity.
And too many of the policies we now pursue are so promiscuous that it gives no room to even consider integrity by way of an answer to your question.
Well, I'd like to renew the question. I'd like to renew the question, Harry. Do you think that the sort of attacks not being made on this matter of mink coats and so on, but the sort of attacks being made on the broad program of this government, and no alternative has been presented, as you know, do you think that shows ethics? Now, you haven't made them, therefore you can answer.
Oh, you've stated the question in a different way. I would...
No, that's just the way I said it.
Look, my answer is precisely this, that whenever there is an opportunity on the basis of facts, and plenty of them are available, to attack carelessness and a lack of integrity in this man's government of ours, we are negligent of our own duty if we don't attack it much more, both Democrats and Republicans, than we have done in recent years.
Of course, Harry, but look, I'm not talking about where there is a place for attack. I'm talking about the general technique of going out and tearing everything down. For example, what did you think of the statement that there are 205 communists in the State Department making policy with the knowledge of the Secretary of State? You think that's true?
Blair, I can't answer that question. I can answer
your... Yes, you can.
No, I can't answer that question. Don't be silly. I can answer a question as it pertains to me. Period. Now, what are you driving at?
All right, now, gentlemen, if you please, I think...
How are we?
Everybody can have their own ideas of what who is driving at, but can we come back to the obvious center of this question of corruption in government? Senator Smith, we did not get a specific suggestion from you.
No, Mr. Cook, I want to say again that I think, say again to my good friends on the other side of the table, that I think we do need a new president and a new administration that is more sensitive to corruption in government. Now, we're talking about getting more integrity in government. And certainly Republicans have no monopoly on decency and honesty, any more than the Democrats have exclusive monopoly on corruption. But it does seem to me, when the chief executive of this country ignores suggestions that come out of congressional committees, you remember that when the 5% hearings were on, some of the people around him were found guilty, he completely ignored it. Do you remember when Senator Fulbright came out with a report and the chief executive said that it was asinine? Do you remember that when Mr. Boyle was found guilty of some things, when I took the floor about Mr. Boyle and he finally resigned? It does seem to me that the only answer, and again, the Republicans may not be perfect, the Republicans may not do any better, but they certainly wouldn't do any worse, Mr. Senator.
I'm sorry, Mr. Modi, but questions require answers, and that takes time. We have very little time left. I think it's Senator Kefauver's turn.
Well, I think, Mr. Cook, that we will all agree that corruption and crime is not a respecter of persons or parties, that the only thing that they want is protection in order to carry on their business, and that it's our duty as American citizens, without regard to partisanship, to expose, to remove the wrongdoers, and to clean up government at all levels and to try to bring about conditions so that we won't be having a crop of criminals every generation. That involves housing, education, church, recreation, and a lot of other things. Because we cannot face the perils of the future unless we have both a sound and a clean America. And I believe confidently that now that the facts are known, pretty well known, that the American people are going to keep on at this effort until the wrongdoing is cleaned up and until we can face the future with a cleaner and a more vital country.
Mr. Cook, I would just like to say, what is to blame for all of this? The core of the blame is the general mental attitude of the public today. One factor is the fatalistic feeling that a third world war is imminent and that one can live, should live, for the moment, not for the future. Another factor, Mr. Cook, as I see it, is the feeling of economic impotence, that man can't control his own economic destiny. And a third factor, as I see it, is the feeling of political impotence, with the voter no longer feeling that his vote is meaningful.